This is the Scripture Driven Church broadcast, brought to you by Teaching the Word Ministries. The Church of Jesus Christ must be the Scripture Driven Church, relying on God's inspired and inerrant Word as our sole authority and our infallible critic in every area of life and ministry. And now, here's author, Bible teacher, and Teaching the Word president, Dr. Paul Elliott, to introduce today's program.
In Psalm 119, verse 18, the psalmist prays to the Lord, "Open my eyes, that I may see wondrous things from your law." Dear friend, are your eyes open today? What does it mean for God to open your eyes, so that you can behold wondrous things in His written word, the Bible? We're going to focus on those questions in today's message, and I invite you to turn in your Bible to Psalm 119, beginning at verse 17. We also apologize for the slight audio distortion in today's message, which was recorded live in a church service. But we trust that the Holy Spirit will focus your thoughts not so much on the sound, but on the Word of Truth.
As we look into God's Word together and seek His instruction in it this morning, let's look to Him again in prayer. Our Father, we come before You this morning as strangers and pilgrims in this present world. Father, we have no continuing city here. We seek a city to come, a city that is above. We truly, Father, as Your people, are citizens of that world. In a much more living and vital way than we are citizens of any perishing nation of this present earth. We thank You, Father, that we look forward to that. We thank You that we have the authority of Your Word to tell us that these things are true. And Father, we do indeed pray that You would open our eyes this morning to see the truth of Your Word. I pray, Father, that You would apply that truth by Your Spirit, as only Your Spirit can, to each individual listening this morning. In Christ's name, amen. The passage that I'd like to direct our attention to this morning is found in Psalm 119. I want to call our attention to one particular verse, but I'd like to begin reading at verse 17 of Psalm 119 through verse 24. This is the Word of God. "Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may see wondrous things from your law. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. My soul breaks with longing for your judgments at all times. You rebuke the proud, the cursed, who stray from your commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. Your testimonies are also my delight and my counselors." And in particular this morning, I want to focus our attention on the familiar words of verse 18. "Open my eyes, that I may see wondrous things from your law." One of the things that is spiritually healthy for us to do as Christians is to ask questions of God's Word. As we read the Word, ask questions. Think about what God is saying to us, how it applies, what exactly does He mean. And so I would like for us to approach the words that we find in verse 18 with that concept of questions in mind this morning, to ask some questions. What do we see first of all as we look at the words that are confronting us this morning. What is the character of them? The character of them, first of all, is that they are a petition to God. They're a prayer. Psalm 119, longest psalm, longest chapter in the entire Word of God, and it is a chapter that focuses upon the Word of God in various ways. And throughout this chapter, there are sections in which the psalmist is praising God for His Word. There are sections in which the psalmist is testifying as to the effect of the Word in his own life. And there are places in the psalm where the psalmist is offering petitions to God concerning His Word. And that is what we find here in verse 18. What does this mean? Why is the psalmist praying this? Why does he need for God to do this for him? Well, in the original Hebrew, we find that the psalmist is literally petitioning God in this way. He's saying, uncover my eyesight. Uncover my eyesight. I recognize that in my natural state, my eyes are covered. Something is over them that prevents me from seeing at all, much less seeing things clearly. Lord, without your help. And thus he says, open my eyes. And there is an emphasis in the Hebrew in that word, my. Open my eyes, even my eyes, Lord. My eyes. It's a petition that recognizes a personal condition. It's a petition that recognizes a personal need. And it also, as we shall see, is a petition that recognizes personal responsibility and asks the Lord for personal benefit. What is our natural condition? Well, our natural condition, apart from the work of God, is that we are the people who are described in many times, many places in the pages of the Word of God as people who walk in darkness, literally people who walk in obscurity, people whose vision is not merely impaired, but obscured, blocked vision, people who are in utter spiritual darkness apart from the work of God. Our eyes are covered, we're in darkness, we cannot see. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 19 tells us that the way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not even know what it is that makes them stumble. And Satan, the god of this age, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 tells us, the god of this age has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. Why? Lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. And the Apostle Paul goes on there to say, we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. It is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, I would submit to you that here is where much of today's church is failing. Today's church, with few and precious exceptions, preaches man, not Christ. Preaches man's word, not God's word. Why? Because, as these verses tell us, the light has never shined in their hearts. They're still in darkness. And what is the result? The Holy Spirit tells us, 1 Corinthians 2:14, those familiar words, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. Literally, the unsaved man does not accept the things of God as true. Why is that? Paul tells us by the Holy Spirit, he says they're foolishness to that man, nor can he know them. He's incapable of understanding them. Why? Because they're spiritually discerned. And so the psalmist prays, open my eyes that I may see. Now let me put this in terms of what happened last Friday. This past Friday, the highest court of our nation ruled that it's constitutionally permissible. It's a constitutionally protected thing for two men or two women to enter into a so-called marriage relationship, to enter into a relationship that God repeatedly calls an abomination, a supremely detestable thing in his sight. But let me ask you this, would we have had that Supreme Court decision last week if the decision had been rendered by men and women whose eyes could see? Well, we have the answer in the words of the court. If you look at their majority opinion that was given, and also if you read all of the four dissents that were given by the minority justices, what do you find? You find absolutely nothing of biblical Christianity in them. Look as deeply and as hard as you want, you won't find it there. The case was argued and decided completely apart from even the slightest consideration of the holy law of God. The law of God, the God that our founding documents acknowledge as the author of true liberty. Why is our government in this condition? Well, I would submit this to you. It is because as the church goes, so goes the nation. As the church goes, so goes the nation. The problems of which we are now seeing the fruit in our time, in this decade, in this year, in this month, are problems that began long ago in the visible church. The church has failed to grasp that it alone, the believing church, has the supernatural authority and power that emanates from this supernatural word of God. The believing church, the Bible-believing church, what we call in our ministry the scripture-driven church, the praying church, the church that holds forth God's word as the only standard, the only infallible critic of the human heart, the church that declares that all things are naked and open before the eyes of the one to whom we must give account, that church, Christ's true church, has greater power than all the courts, all the human governments, to exert a righteous influence upon the nation. It has the power of God. On my way home from church last Sunday, I was listening to a preacher on the radio. Actually, it was on a station here in York. And he was beginning, he was introducing a series on 1 Corinthians, and he was talking about the fact that the power of the church is not in politics. He made an interesting statement. He said, look at our politicians. He said, do you find many saved people among them? He said, no, you find precious few. He said, why is that? He said, well, look here in 1 Corinthians. What did God say? Not many wise, not many noble, not many of the powerful of this world in man's terms are called of God. God works through the foolish things. And he said, you know, think about this. Why aren't there many politicians who are believers in Christ? He said, let me turn it around the other way. Why are there not many believers in Christ who are politicians? He said, here's the answer right here in 1 Corinthians. He said, politics is the art of compromise. Our God hates compromise. That's why. We don't need politicians. We need the Word of God. We need the true church of Jesus Christ. That is what has power. Would we have the conditions that we have today in our country if what is called the evangelical church today, so much of it, were really led by men who can really see? It is by the way in which they are leading the church, many of them, that they most clearly demonstrate that they cannot see, that their spiritual eyesight is darkened, and many today who are standing in what are called evangelical pulpits in America today, I would dare to say most of them, based on the evidence, are frankly still lost in their sins. And I don't say that lightly. I say that based on evidence, the evidence that we have all around us. They're still blinded by the God of this world. Well, how does God remedy that situation? We find this, Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 78. Through the tender mercy of our God, this is quoting from the Old Testament, through the tender mercy of our God, the day spring from on high has visited us. Christ has come. His Spirit has come. To do what? To give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. And God does this first of all by the saving work of Christ. He applies that work to our hearts by the Spirit who regenerates us and by His Spirit who lives in us, by His Spirit who guides us into all truth. Now, why does God remedy that condition of obscured sight, of covered eyesight, as the psalmist speaks of it, that results in spiritual darkness? Why does God do that? He does it, the psalmist declares, so that I may see. Now, this is a very rich statement in the original Hebrew. That I may see, the psalmist says. What's he saying? In the original, he's saying, in order that I may pay attention to God's law. That I may behold God's law with unrestrained eyes. That I may give God's law due respect, due regard, due obedience, that I may look upon it with a proper insight, with a proper spiritual appreciation, with an appropriate response. All of those things are contained in the original language of those four words, that I may see. And why does God do this? We continue to ask questions of the Word. Why does God do this? Why does God answer the petition of the man who prays, open my eyes that I may see? Well, God does not do it in order to merely give us knowledge that's going to puff us up and increase our pride. That's not His purpose. He gives us spiritual sight so that we might understand our humble position before Him. He gives us knowledge that increases our responsibility before Him. He gives us knowledge that must be obeyed. He does this so that we may walk in the light. As the Apostle John speaks of it in his first epistle, walk in the truth. God does this in order that we may, as the Apostle Paul speaks of it in Colossians chapter 3, that we may set our minds on things above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. That our minds may be focused on His throne and on His authority. Open my eyes that I may see. Biblical truth is revealed truth. It's not truth that man can discover on his own. Man can't do it. The natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. Biblical truth consists of God's facts, not man's opinions. What we had this past Friday is an opinion that is absolutely, absolutely devoid of facts, of God's facts. To obey biblical truth, to understand biblical truth, first of all, requires the opening of the eyes. To obey biblical truth requires the illumination of the Spirit of God. And what's the nature of that truth? What does the psalmist call that truth here in verse 18? He calls it wondrous things. Wondrous things. And again, this is a rich term in the original. It speaks of things that are surpassingly marvelous, things that are extraordinary, things that are beyond mere human power to perceive. All of those things are embodied in those two words, wondrous things. The scripture-driven Christian can see what the unregenerated world cannot see. Let me say that again and untangle my tongue. The scripture-driven Christian can understand what the unregenerated world cannot see. Let me put that to you in a very basic way. Very basic way. And a hymn writer understood this. The writer of the hymn that we sing under the title, I Am His and He Is Mine. The Christian sees a different world than the ungodly sees. The Christian sees literally the blue of the sky and the green of the grass in a different way. The hymn writer says, something lives in every hue and every color of this world. The very colors of creation, something lives in them, he says, that Christless eyes have never seen. When we look at the sky, we see our Creator God. When we look at the grass, we see our Creator God. When we look at the grass, we see, according to the Word of God, something that he says will wither and fade away. But, he says, in contrast, my word will endure forever.
Here once again is Dr. Paul Elliott with some closing comments.
Dear friend, perhaps you have listened to today's message and you want to learn more about the things we spoke of. Perhaps these things are truths that you've never heard before. Perhaps you are a Christian, and you desire for God to truly open your eyes to understand wondrous truths out of His Word. Or perhaps you're saying, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. These things are entirely new to me. I want to learn more. In either case, we are offering a free book, which will be helpful to you. The title of the book is Profiting from the Word, by Arthur W. Pink. This book addresses two crucial questions. How much do you gain from your reading of Scripture? And how can you learn to profit from God's Word more? If you would like to receive a free copy of this book, simply tell us that you would like the book called Profiting from the Word. We're sending this book to anyone who requests it anywhere in the world, free and postage paid, while supplies last. Listeners in North America can call us anytime toll-free at 888-804-9655. Listeners anywhere in the world can write to us at Box 2533, Westminster, Maryland, 21158, USA. Or you can use the contact page on our website, teachingtheword.org. Once again, our phone number for listeners in North America is 888-804-9655. Our mailing address worldwide is Box 2533, Westminster, Maryland, 21158, USA. And our website is teachingtheword.org. And don't forget to tell us that you are interested in receiving a copy of the book, Profiting from the Word. And while you are visiting our website, we invite you to explore our Bible knowledge base. It contains thousands of pages of free Bible teaching material that you can download at any time for further study. The entire Bible knowledge base is searchable by any word or phrase, and readers and listeners from around the world view and download millions of pages of material from the Bible knowledge base each month. We hope that you will be among them. Once again, that's the Bible Knowledge Base on our website at teachingtheword.org. And if you contact us, please remember to ask for the book, Profiting from the Word. Thank you for listening today. We hope you'll join us for the second half of today's message on our next program. Until then, may God richly bless your personal study of His inspired, infallible, inerrant Word.
This weekly program, The Scripture-Driven Church, is brought to you by the faithful friends and supporters of Teaching the Word Ministries.